You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A report from the New Zealand Transport Agency on the benefits of rail has emerged over the weekend. It was initially commissioned by the late national government and ready for release in 2016, but was never made public. The new Labour-led government has chosen to shine a light on its findings and intends to use it to support further investment in rail across the country. The study shows that New Zealand's rail network has saved the country $1.5 billion. I spoke to Transport Minister Phil Twyford and started by asking him to elaborate on the findings of the study.
It's an economic analysis which looks at the wider benefits and costs of rail. Now that's calculated in reduced congestion on our roads, reduced deaths and injuries on the roads, road maintenance costs, and a number of other factors. So it's really significant, I think, because the new government is strongly committed to getting a more efficient and safe and low-carbon transport system in place. And this report suggests that increasing the role of rail could be a really important way that we do that.
So yes, like you said, there are financial benefits to having more rail, but there are also environmental ones.
That's right. One of our most important goals is going to be reducing carbon emissions. The transport system is one of the major sources of carbon pollution. And by shifting more freight on rail and coastal shipping, we know we can reduce carbon emissions. And in our cities, by getting people out of their cars into modern rapid transit systems, we know that will make a big difference in reducing carbon emissions too. So it starts to tick all the boxes and shapes up as a really important policy direction for us, and that's to get more out of rail.
Talking about getting passengers off the roads and onto rail, this report shows that there has been a benefit of $1.2 billion alone just from having those passengers off the road, which is a significant number. And obviously, I think that makes quite a solid case for more rail and less roads.
The report shows that there are really big gains in the cities getting people onto rail and rapid transit. And, you know, we can see that in Auckland, the rapid increase in passenger transport, public transport journeys during the time that we've had the new electric trains in Auckland. We know that when a city rail link comes in and it doubles the number of trains that can run on the network, allowing trains to run as frequently as every few minutes at peak hour, it's likely that we're going to see bigger and bigger numbers of people using the rail system to get across the city. Our government's committed to rolling out a 21st century rapid transit network across Auckland, and that will include light rail from the city centre up Dominion Road to Roskill and then across to the airport, and also from the city out to West Auckland and the big northwest growth area. It'll get more people at peak hour leaving their cars at home and taking the train. That will deliver big benefits in terms of both reducing congestion and carbon emissions.
So we're talking about congestion wait time. National's transport spokesperson Judith Collins, she claims that new and better roads are also a means to get less congestion wait time. And in all fairness, the Waterview Tunnel that they have implemented, the previous government, it has proven to be rather useful in that regard. So this government has decided to sack the East-West Link imagined by National. Don't you believe that new roads can also be an efficient way to limit traffic?
We do need roads and motorways, of course, and that's not going to change. But I think Aucklanders know that we suffer terrible congestion in the city. It costs the city about $1.3 billion a year in lost productivity, and anyone who has to drive to and from work across town will waste hundreds of hours a year sitting in traffic. What we know is that we can't only just build new motorways and add lanes to the existing motorways, because what happens when you do that? They just magically fill up with cars. It's called induced demand, and the more you build more and more lanes and make it easier for people to drive, the more they will. We have an incredibly high level of private car ownership in Auckland. The way the population's been growing, 825 extra cars a week hitting the road in Auckland. So what we need to do is really make up for the fact that there has been 50 or 60 years of deliberate underinvestment in public transport in Auckland. We have to retrofit the city with a modern rapid transit system of rail and bus rapid transit that sits alongside the road and motorway network. And that way, the rapid transit acts as a kind of pressure valve. And you see this on the Northern Busway, which currently brings in the equivalent of four lanes of traffic over the Harbour Bridge every morning into the city. More people actually travel on the busway than in private cars on the Northern Busway, on State Highway 1, into the city every morning. And what happens is enough people choose to leave their cars at home for the peak hour commute. They take the busway, and what that means is that it allows the traffic to move more freely. It acts as a kind of pressure valve. That's the effect that we want right across the city. So we're not saying we're not going to build any more roads. Of course, we need to be investing in roads when they need it and when they stack up in terms of the economic value. But the big priority, the strategic priority for Auckland, is that we have to now build a 21st century rapid transit system. Because if we don't, then people are going to be forever into the future are going to be sitting in traffic for hours and hours on end and wishing that the earlier generation had got to grips with this problem.
So you've mentioned light rail network in Auckland, and if I'm not mistaken, you're also planning on investing in regional rail. Am I right to believe that these investments are going to cost taxpayers quite a lot?
Well, all transport investment costs a lot. The government spends about $4 billion a year on transport. What we're talking about is a rebalancing of the transport budget so that it's not just being spent on a handful of large urban motorway projects as the past national government did. We want to get the best out of all modes. So road, rail in the cities, rail to carry freight. It's a much more economically rational approach to our transport spending. It's about rebalancing away from just having motorways as the default mode. We're not planning to spend more on transport in total. We're talking about rebalancing the approach to the different kinds of transport spending.
So you're also thinking that the benefits, the financial benefits, are going to cover for the investment, the money spent on it?
That's the only reason we do it. But it's not just about the putting a dollar figure on shorter journey times. We've got to take into account the cost of carbon emissions. We've got to take into account the cost of people dying unnecessary deaths and being injured on the roads. We've got to properly measure the cost of road maintenance, of having so many trucks, big heavy trucks on the roads, and the damage that does to the roads and the cost of maintaining them. We've got to fully capture all of those costs, and then we can properly compare road, rail, and other transport modes.
That also takes into account freight, because I think in the report it says that it doesn't really know yet whether the benefits are going to be superior to the subsidies. Is it something that you're going to look into?
That's exactly what we have to look into. Yep. It's not about subsidising one mode over the other because we have a romantic attachment to rail or some kind of emotional thing about how trains are nicer. It's about how do we deliver a transport system that is economically efficient, resilient in the face of earthquakes and other natural disasters, reduces carbon emissions, and reduces the unnecessary deaths.
So does the Ministry of Transport already have a clear plan of investments or even like a schedule in mind, or are we still in the early stages of planning?
So there is an existing transport plan, but it's based on the priorities of the past national government. So what we're doing now is putting in place the government policy statement, which is going to set out our high-level goals for transport, and then that will flow through into the budget and the plan, and eventually it will cascade down to individual projects, whether they're rail, public transport, freight, roads, motorways, you name it.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.